The Jaguars are planning to build something big from the ashes of a lost era. A team with players and playmakers is ready to open a different door and start a new path.
A pick six for Jalen Ramsey, and the Jags are pouring it on.
But it's not a new door. Tom Coughlin returns to Jacksonville, and Doug Marrone steps into a familiar role. But it is a decidedly new path with a different feel, a different energy, a different purpose. Winning now. We tackle the new blueprint and the changes made to return the Jaguars to a former glory next on Jaguars.com Live.
This is a live look inside the U.S. Assure Club West at Everbank Field. We're moments away from the presentation of Jaguars football leadership. No introductions needed. We already know these guys pretty well. Tom Coughlin is back as the executive VP of football operations, and Doug Marrone brought on as the full-time head coach. Here's what we'll get to today. We'll hear from Jaguars owner Shad Khan about how all this came together. We'll hear from Tom Coughlin for the first time since being back in the building, Dave Caldwell, the general manager, and new head coach Doug Marrone. Also, Jaguars president Mark Lamping will speak with the media today. We'll have a few of those guys on with us afterward. Welcome in, J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton, John Osier, Jaguars.com Live from the U.S. Assure Club West. One of the biggest days, really, in franchise history. Tom Coughlin, the guy who got it started, is back at the top.
Well, it's a fascinating day for me, Brian, I'm sure for you. 21 years ago, I was covering Tom as he came into this, and so were you.
February 1994, 23 years ago.
It's surreal, it's odd, and at the same time, it feels so right?
It does. Look, his presence has been a part of this franchise. It's such a strong persona anyway, and the Jaguars' best years were when he was here. He's been a presence in town through the J Fund and through his kids who live here. And as he has gone on to great success in New York, people's fondness for him has grown,
sure,
too. So his personality, his persona, has necessarily been in the building, but it's been in the city. And that's why I think it feels so right to so many people.
Oh, it's been in the building.
In the last few days, it has.
I got back here in 2011, and I had been gone for 10 years. I was in Indianapolis. When I had left, Tom was here. When I got back, I knew he wasn't the coach. But for the first couple of days, I'm still looking around, sort of looking for him, because he was such a presence, and he really was this team when he was here. I can't imagine his personality, his presence, it won't be the same.
Oh, no. Look, when he came in here in 1994, he came from Boston College, where they had beaten Notre Dame, who was number one at their place. It was a huge, huge game for him. It lifted him to prominence nationally, and he had that big persona, and he had a plan. Well, he comes back now, right, with an even greater persona, with great credibility, which is what he brings instantly when he steps in, Hall of Fame credentials, and has to have a different kind of plan.
Sure.
Because he's not coming in to run the sidelines like he did. And I cannot explain it in enough terms with enough different adjectives to people that his personality will fill the building from this day forward.
But it's a dramatically different role, and to me that's what's fascinating. Here's a guy who is, I believe, a Hall of Famer. And now he's got to shift gears and run it in a different way. This formula is not always successful, but knowing Tom, you got to figure he's going to find a way for it to be successful.
Well, JP, I think something else to take into account is he took the job in the league office last year, which gave him an opportunity to move around the National Football League to see how front offices work. He was there, as he told me when he was here in training camp, to be a voice for the coaches.
Sure.
But he is an absolute computer when it comes to absorbing information. So you know that he has done his homework, and this is not just fly by night. He's got a plan in place already.
So you're saying he prepared for this?
Oh, man.
There's a shock.
Even when he still wanted to be a coach.
Right.
when the narrative was still, is Tom Coughlin going to return as a coach? He was preparing for both eventualities. That's who he is. And just think about that, folks. That kind of preparation bodes very well for this roster and this franchise.
He's never going to be unprepared, JP.
We're scheduled for 10 o'clock. It's going to start at 9:55, as you have heard throughout. We'll hear from Jaguars owner Shad Khan as well today. We don't hear from Shad a lot throughout the calendar year, only a few specific times. Certainly on a day like this, we will. It's going to be interesting to see how all this started, first of all, and then how it moved forward after that.
Well, and that's the fascinating thing about a day like today, because you spend in a coaching search having sort of covered events like this as a newspaper guy, watch them within the team. everybody is sort of speculating, and everybody spends the last few days saying, the timeline looks like this. I'll bet this happened. I'll bet Shad called him, and I'll bet he called. Well, today is the time when Shad Khan and Tom Coughlin will sort of tell the story of how it happened and lay out their vision going forward, a huge benchmark day for the franchise.
I know Tom well enough to know that he's going to enjoy this moment. You know, and his wife Judy is here, his kids who live here in town, Brian
right
and
there,
Kelly are there. They're going to enjoy this moment, but Tom is already in the office thinking about what he's going
sure.
to do. He'll relate what he will relate about how the process unfolded. He's already thinking forward, and that's really what I'm interested in. And I think when you look at the dynamic of Tom now having the coach and the general manager reporting to him, mm-hmm. which has never been the structure here before, how's that work?
Right.
Right? Everyone's talking, who's got the call on the 53? I'm not sure you'll get a straight answer on that, or maybe you will.
Right.
I don't know. We'll find out.
There but are many ways to do that, and several are okay.
And that's generally the answer I think we're going to get.
Right.
Because no one's going to want to be pinned down here on the first day
sure.
of this new working arrangement. But where this develops, or what it develops into, JP, is really the fascinating part yep. of how these relationships go forward. I think Dave Caldwell has done a very good job with this roster. And I'm sure that Tom Coughlin understands that and plans to utilize his prodigious football talent.
Moments away from the beginning here at the U.S. Assured Club West at Everbank Field. We'll also hear from Doug Marrone today, too.
Right.
That's going to be the other side of this
Who?
Thing.
Right. He's been left out of this conversation.
Coaching the 53, the full-time head coach. And let's go to the podium right now. Mark Lamping, Jaguars president.
Just wanted to give you an idea what the format will be. There will be prepared remarks from each of the gentlemen up here. And then following that, we're going to go ahead and do a little longer Q&A session with the four of them here at the table. And then when that is complete, there's going to be some photos that need to be taken, and then they'll come back, and there'll be some opportunities for some follow-up group interviews. Also, when we get into the Q&A portion of this, there will be three Jaguar employees that will have microphones. If you could please make sure you have the microphone before you ask your question for the benefit of everyone that's assembled here today. So it's my honor to kick things off today by introducing the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Shad Khan.
Thanks, Mark, and thank you, everybody, for being here. We've got nothing but good news to share today. We're celebrating a homecoming in the appointment of, Tom Coughlin as our Executive VP of Football Operations. The deserved promotion of Doug Marrone as our new head coach of the Jaguars and the continued stability and building of a winning organization and the contract extension of Dave Caldwell. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a spectacular football staff. I'm proud to introduce them to the fans of Jacksonville here in Jacksonville Jaguars here in Duval and throughout North Florida, as well as to the army of supporters in London and the United Kingdom. Before I begin, I would like to thank Gus Bradley for his faithful service to the Jaguars and our community. The success we envisioned eluded us, but I'll always be grateful for the manner in which Gus represented the Jaguars. And there's no question to me that Gus will shine on as his career in football continues. My best heartfelt thanks to Gus, his wife Michaela, their family, and all of them who leave a Jacksonville here as friends. Now on to Tom Coughlin. It goes without saying that any football organization that includes Tom Coughlin is going to be one of the best in the NFL. That's a fact, and no need to Google that one. I first met with Tom several weeks ago to learn, share, and ultimately imagine what might have been possible here in Jacksonville. And if the goal was to build a championship organization that wins day to day, week to week, season to season, and that is our goal here, then there was really only one outcome from our discussion. Tom simply had to return to Jacksonville. What enthuses me the most is Tom welcomes the challenge of overseeing all facets of football operation. And given his roots in Jacksonville, combined with his experience and pedigree, there couldn't be possibly anyone better to accept the challenge. So it's my honor to welcome home our new Executive Vice President of Football Operations, and appropriately, once again, wearing the Jaguars logo, Mr. Tom Coughlin.
Thank you, Sean. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you all today. I told Mr. Kahn a few weeks ago that I have a vested interest in the historical presence and success of the Jacksonville Jaguars here in Jacksonville, Florida. And I believe our great fans deserve a team that they can be proud of. Will this be easy? Of course not. If it was easy, anybody could do it. But I'm excited by this opportunity and this great challenge. And as John Wooden said, success travels in the company of very hard work. And that's no easy, there is no easy way, and there's no trick. When I visited with Mr. Kahn, it was clear from the very beginning how driven he is to win. And I am inspired by that. The best way you can educate your young people is through stories and parables and examples. Mr. Kahn's story is the great American dream come true. He is driven to win and succeed, and it is this culture of winning, of excellence, of doing things the right way all of the time, of sustained great effort, and of keeping priorities in order and being accountable for your performance that needs to be stressed with our team. While I'm thrilled to be back, it's not about me. It's not about any one individual. It's about team. It's about the concept of team, of team above self, of unselfish commitment to team. Team above all else will define the Jaguars moving forward. Leadership today is about serving others. Humble enough to prepare, confident enough to perform. Pablo Casals, the greatest cellist of the 20th century, at 95 years old, practiced 6 hours a day. When asked by a young journalist, "Mr. Casals, you're the greatest cellist in the world. Why do you practice at 95 years old, 6 hours a day?" "Because I think I'm making progress." And that is a virtue and a theme that I've always carried and will continue to do so. I'm grateful to be back here in Jacksonville, where the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation originated, and to once again thank the wonderful people of Greater Jacksonville for their support. Thank you for this very warm welcome. Judy's excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. And I look forward to working with each and every one of you for the betterment of our team. And it's time for us to get to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. We began interviewing candidates for the head coach last week. But as important, during the last 2 weeks of the season, we spoke to a number of people of exceptional reputation, as who would make the best choice to lead the Jaguars in 2017 and beyond. This resulted in a deliberate and detailed search, a process that was extremely informed. We also had the benefit going into the process knowing Doug Marrone and knowing him in ways that certainly impressed me and others. And a lot of people in the organization we're highly impressed by Doug. But that likely wouldn't be evident outside the organization. So I want to be clear. We interviewed numerous high-quality candidates, candidates who one day will return to the NFL as head coaches or get their first opportunity as a head coach. They were all fantastic. And we interviewed Doug, who went through the same process as everyone else. And in the end, with respect to all the other candidates, it wasn't close. Our choice was Doug Marrone. We love the fact that Doug had head coaching experience both at the college level and the NFL. I am particularly impressed that Doug was able to rapidly turn around Syracuse University and then the Buffalo Bills. And what we saw, obviously, from the Jaguars and Doug's brief time as our interim head coach, he certainly earned the respect of everyone here, including our players. Doug will offer just the right amount of continuity to the roster, but has much better, really a roster that has much better talent than our record shows. But as you've seen already with the staff changes announced this week, status quo is not in Doug's vocabulary. The environment Doug will create will emphasize accountability, discipline, conditioning, commitment, and above all, results, winning. We'll all have to wait until the fall for the results, but everything else, we can count on that immediately with the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Doug Marrone.
Thank you, Shad. Thank you all for coming out this afternoon. Obviously, I stand here extremely proud to take over as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'd like to take this moment to thank some of the people that were part of the process in my role being here. Obviously, I would like to thank our owner, Shad Khan, his son, Tony Khan, Coach Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, and Mark Lampin. I like to say that it was a very thorough process, one that I've been through before, one that obviously I went into not taking for granted, even though I have been here for 2 years. It was a lot of work put into it. It was a long process, I can say that, but it was worth it, obviously, at the end. And I think as a candidate, as all of our candidates are, we appreciate the ability to get in front of the people on this and this dais, and obviously Tony, and be able to show, you know, what we have to offer. So I know I appreciate that. More importantly, I would like to thank my wonderful family. You know, we as coaches, executives, whatever it may be, go through this. You know, we have Tom's family here. They've been through everything that Tom has gone through. People tend to forget that. But I'd like to thank my family, my wife Helen, my daughter Madeline, my son Mac, my daughter Annie. And I appreciate you guys being here today. My next message is for the fans of Jacksonville. I've been here 2 years, and I've seen the pride in this city. I've seen the passion they have for this team. And I want you to know that I feel the pain, and I know how difficult it's been. But make no mistake about it, the people of Jacksonville deserve a winner. We will put the right people in place to get that done. That's why I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. The appointment of Tom and promotion of Doug are significant milestones for the Jaguars, but I do want to, the contract extension of Dave Caldwell is just as significant, and really, I want to make sure it's not overlooked or underestimated. It was 4 years ago that we introduced Dave as our new general manager. He was an excellent hire for the Jaguars, and today we have the youngest starting roster, and in many estimations, one of the most talented and promising rosters in the National Football League. I also believe Dave is still in his formative years as a football executive, and his best days and greatest achievements are still to come. Working with Tom and Dave, I bet those days are coming soon. So with that, I'd like to invite to the podium our general manager, Dave Caldwell.
Thanks, Shad. Thank you all for coming today. Truly a special day. I want to give thanks to Shad, Mark, and Tony Khan for their efforts in the interview process. It was a very, very thorough process, like Doug said. And to echo what Shad said, we went through a lot of very qualified candidates, and we felt like we picked the best candidate for the Jacksonville Jaguars in Doug Marrone. Throughout the process, the one thing stayed clear was not only is Jacksonville a city where people are destined to come to, being coaches and NFL personnel, but Shad Khan is an owner that NFL coaches destined to work for. So I'm grateful to Shad for giving me the opportunity to be here for another couple of years. It's a very exciting day for me to be able to work with Tom Coughlin, who's a future Hall of Famer, and who I've admired from afar for a long period of time. I've gotten to know him and his family over the last couple of years being here in Jacksonville, and this is a great thing for our organization. Shad, to his credit, has made great football moves for the Jacksonville Jaguars with Tom and Doug and the structure that we have in place. And I think it's not only about the structure, but the people. And I think we have the right people in the place to bring this city back to relevance and where we need to be as an NFL franchise. Thank you.
Okay, at this point, we'd like to open up for questions. And again, please get a microphone. Gene?
You had said in a couple interviews last year that you implied that you were interested in returning to coaching. Did something change over the course of your interview with the Jaguars that you envisioned the role that you now have?
No, I think this is the role that I really anticipated and wanted at this point in my career. And the idea of being able to discuss whatever the possibility might be was what I was expressing. But this is the role that I really wanted.
Mark?
Mark Long with AP. Tom, clearly you're going to put your stamp on this football program. Can you give us some idea of what that stamp is these days?
Well, I think there's no doubt the idea of giving great effort, returning the good physical football to the game, being a smart team, a disciplined team, a team that doesn't turn the ball over, doesn't beat themselves. I think that's what Doug and I have discussed and Dave have discussed.
Dan?
Mr. Khan, Tom, how much of a say did Tom have in bringing Coach Marrone in? Was he a part of that process or was he hired separately?
Tom had really, when we went through the interviews and this role, I spoke to Tom. I mean, he gave me probably the two best choices for him. And, you know, Doug was one of those, and I think by that time we had decided it was Doug. But I wanted to make sure everybody, you know, could work together, and, you know, they were elated and delighted to do that.
Hey, Carline 1010XL. Tom, will you have final say over the 53, and what's your impression of Blake Bortles at this point of his development?
We will act as a team. We will make all decisions as a team. Blake Bortles is our quarterback.
Follow up on that, Shad, the final say on the 53, you say is that a team effort? Who ultimately has who ultimately breaks those ties?
Well, I think, you know, we've got the three key people here leading the football operation. And most decisions, I think, you know, come to a natural conclusion what the right thing is. But if in, you know, circumstance it wasn't, then obviously Tom has the football operation. So he would be making the finals.
Tom, Brent Martineau from CBS and Fox. Do you look at this a little bit as unfinished business here in Jacksonville with all your success that you had early on?
as I said in the beginning, I have a vested interest in this team, and I want to see this team succeed, and I want to see this great community come together in support of and be proud of this team. So this is an opportunity that my family and I will cherish, and I'm certainly glad to be here to be a part of this.
Shad, Mike Kay from First Coast News. How much did those final two games for Doug really factor into your hiring process?
I think, you know, they are a factor. We looked like a different team. We played differently. And that was only really working with the team for 2 weeks. But I think that's a factor, but it's not the only factor.
Tom, Mike Duraco with ESPN. Do you have the coaching bug completely out of your system? There's no part of you that wants to coach. Do you anticipate any problems when the fall rolls around and the guys are on the field and stuff?
Do I anticipate any problems? No, because I intend to put my heart and soul into being of great support for Dave and for Doug. So, you know, I'll be living in their shoes, so to speak. But I embrace this opportunity.
To Tom and Doug, Rick Ballew from 1010XL. Doug, you ran a different defense in Buffalo. Tom, we're very aware of the defense and the success you had in New York. Can Jacksonville expect changes scheme-wise on that side of the football?
Well, again, that's open for a discussion. Right now, obviously, we've let some coaches go. We have some coaches on board, but we have not defined any roles in our coaches right now. We're looking to go out and get the best, most talented, bright minds, people to bring in to help this football team win.
This question is for both Tom and Doug. When did you two guys first get acquainted on a football level, and what were your impressions of each other through your Syracuse University connections?
Well, I think I was well aware of Doug as a player, as well aware of Doug when he first got into coaching in New Orleans, et cetera, et cetera. And then when Doug was the head coach at Syracuse University, we began to talk more often. He would come and visit me in New York, and we remained in touch that way. We talked when he was the head coach in Buffalo. We played against each other in the Hall of Fame game. So, you know, our knowledge of one another is extensive.
For me, a little bit different. When I first decided to go into coaching, coach was playing in a bowl game down here in Florida. And, you know, he's obviously very difficult to get to. I was able to, in my maybe New York ways, try to find, you know, coach's number, which you couldn't get from anyone. And I found out the hotel that the team was staying in. And I was able to find out a room number. And probably about 10 o'clock at night, it was late, I remember calling Coach, saying, Coach Coughlin, my name is Doug Marone. I'm a Syracuse University graduate. I played in the league, and I'd like an opportunity to be a graduate assistant. I knew I was in trouble right away. First, he was I'm guessing that Coach was, one, who the hell gave out this number? How did this guy call? I hope, Judy, I didn't wake you up at the time. And he said, send your resume in, we'll see where we go from there. And the phone hung up. So for me, this is about 24 years ago, I would think. I told Coach, I said, 24 years, and, you know, I'm finally working for you now. So,
Tom, can you give us an impression of the defensive players you're inheriting here, Yannick Ngakoue, Jalen Ramsey?
I wouldn't talk about any of that at this point in time. I'd have to spend more time, and then that'll basically remain internal.
Mike Licio, WNZF in Palm Coast. This is for Mr. Khan and for Dave Caldwell. Now, you were looking for a guy with NFL experience, head coaching experience, but how much did, with the young roster you guys have, how much did his Syracuse, Doug Marone's Syracuse experience factor into your decision?
I don't know, Dave.
Well, I think the two things we wanted was experience and somebody that had a history of turning around a culture. And what Doug did in Syracuse and what he did in Buffalo, inheriting cultures that where teams have not been successful and then turn those programs around to being very successful. Those are two key components for our search and what we're looking for in a head coach.
Doug, you obviously inherited a staff that you worked with for the last 2 years, but let some of them go. How important is it for you to get guys on the staff that you've worked with prior and guys that you're specifically hiring for a purpose?
Again, those are things that we're discussing. Each process to everyone is a little bit different. And obviously right now we're at a time where we're going through that together.
Yeah, over here to your right, Coach Marone. This is George Diaz with the Orlando Sentinel. Mr. Coughlin mentioned that Blake Bortles is your quarterback. He obviously regressed a bit last season. What do you see in him that gives you optimism that, you know, he is the guy moving forward?
Well, I think the same thing. I think Coach said it correctly. I think that obviously Blake is our quarterback. I think that right now is probably not the right time to discuss, you know, personnel and players. I think those discussions are that'll come out either internally with us that we'll have, and that'll be something that I'm sure I'll be asked down the road.
Doug Philpott from Florida Times Union. Can you just talk about the time from when you walked away from Buffalo until now, just how you got through that, how much you look forward to a day like this coming to fruition?
I don't know if I look, you know, how much I look forward to a day like this. I'm probably wound up a little bit different. I had an opportunity to come down here, obviously be the offensive line coach, so I put everything into that. I don't look ahead. I don't look behind. I just look for the day. I try to go out and win each day, whether it's being a good dad and husband or being a good football coach. So, you know, I take things on a moment-to-moment, day-to-day basis. I don't try to look too far ahead, because if you don't win the moment or win where you are that day, the future is not going to come.
Mr. Kahn and Dave, can you talk about what the search firm helped in terms of finding Doug, and or was it more of a taking a look at the structure of the organization and what input they had?
Well, Dave can add to this, but let me kind of set the stage. This is something we've never used a search firm, you know, in my life, and I talked to a number of people. We didn't want to leave any stones unturned and really have a process that gave us comfort, confidence, and was robust, so what had been carried out in the past. So Dave was, Doug was our candidate, and then Dave, myself, we identified a number of other candidates, and we had a number above that who reached out to us. So we used them to really set up a process and some of the logistics to be able to talk to them, interview them, and then evaluate them. Dave, I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, I think just what Shad said, I think the most important thing was to get an unbiased opinion on our process and our candidates. And, you know, obviously we know Doug. I got to work with him for 2 years in the last 2 weeks of the season as a head coach. So obviously I don't want to slant it to a degree, but they brought in a second opinion of somebody that wasn't with the Jaguars, which was very valuable.
Doug, Mark Long with AP again. We talked a lot about culture. Can you just give me an idea of where the culture is today and where you want to see it tomorrow?
Well, again, today, I hope that our players are watching this and understand, you know, that they need to be working right now. And again, it's going to be a culture where you earn the right to work every day and win that day. And you have to understand that and take that on a day-to-day basis as you work through all the different phases that you do. But I have a high expectation, a high standard for our players and our coaches and what they should be doing. So technically you're not allowed to talk to the players during this time. So that was a subliminal message to them. But and we may laugh about that, but that's the truth. We need to be getting to work. We have a lot of work ahead of us, and I'm looking forward to leading this team when they get back.
Did we get away from winning too much? I
don't know.
Is that going to be a focus to win it's, in games? It wasn't really mentioned a lot.
I can't answer that, but that's all that go ahead.
Is that going to be the focus? What else is there? What the hell would you be doing this for if it wasn't the win?
Yeah.
We're trying to win. We're trying to win today. Who's going to get the better lunch? I mean, let's not make any misunderstandings about why we're here. Yeah. This is all nice and dandy, but Winning is what this thing is all about.
Yeah, all about winning.
Good question.
Doug Brian Shinaki, First Coast News. First, congratulations on not being head
Thank
coach
you.
In terrible weather anymore. Say you win 11, 12, maybe 13 games in a season. How do we know you won't jet this team like you did in Buffalo?
How do I know? I'm sorry, answer that question.
How do we know that you won't take off like you did in Buffalo when you kind of turned that program around in one season?
Well, one is obviously I'm staying obviously down here. One, I'm with people that I love being around. Two, there are no clauses or major change. So, again, that question, I'm not even that thought process has never even entered my mind.
Shad, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union. Yeah. Obviously, the players responded to Doug over the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. How much do you regret maybe not making a coaching change at midseason to try and salvage this past season?
I think, I have no regrets, frankly, in life. We wanted to give Gus every opportunity. And, this was a decision between Dave and myself as the season kind of unwound. What would be the right time for many, many reasons. And, so that's what we feel was the right thing to do. And absolutely no regrets.
Doug, Mike Dempsey, 1010XL Radio. Can you confirm, will Nathaniel Hackett and Todd Wash both be returning in coordinator capacities? And if so, what went into that decision for you?
Well, I think I answered that question earlier when I said that, we do have coaches that obviously we have not have gotten anything in on or have let go, but those roles again will be defined. Right now, putting the staff together is something that is going on right now with this process. The three of us obviously are involved and we're talking about it. So my goal is to go ahead and at the end of the day, when everything's put together, then obviously we'll let the titles or things of like that go out. But as of right now, we have not made any decisions on the positions.
I guess this could be both for Tom and Doug. Seth Harp, iHeartRadio, Sports Radio 930. You see a lot of coaches now in the league having success winning Super Bowls in their second stint. I guess this is for you, Tom and Doug. You're in your second stint now. You were in your second stint. What do you do the second time around differently that you didn't do the first time around?
Doug?
No, I've never changed. I think for me it's always been, push, work hard. I think, people get into magic words or things of that nature, and I've never been about that. I've just been about, betting myself in a position and prepared to do the best job I can in everything that I have to handle. So that's the way I've gone about it. And I have the honor, obviously, with Coach here. I'm excited. Obviously, Dave and I have worked together. Coach and I have a relationship. I probably have the best situation than probably any other NFL coach out there. I don't know the exact feet he'll be away, but I'll be able to walk into his office and talk to him and get his knowledge and pick his brain more often than the drives I had to take to New York to see him.
I would say this. My response would be that you learn every day. You're blessed to be in this opportunity. When you stop learning, you might as well be dead. So the answer to what you said is you learn, you adjust, you recognize your team's strengths and weaknesses. You play to your strengths, obviously. You work on your weaknesses. The mental part of the game is so important. Your ability to relate to your players and your players relate to you. Your ability to recognize leaders and to create an opportunity in your locker room where the players are speaking exactly the same language that you're speaking. And then you have an opportunity, for example, to benefit from a win or two that gives reinforcement to everything that you're teaching. And you start to snowball a little bit. And when that thing starts to go and people start believing in themselves, and when people come together from being a bunch of individuals to a team, a true team, in which they put everything else aside, all personal goals aside, for the good of the team, and they become one, then you've got an opportunity, and only then, to succeed. And that's what happened in the great opportunities and circumstances that I was able to be a part of a team that won actually three world championships.
Gene Furnette from the Times Union. Question for Tom. One of your mentors, Bill Parcells, took a similar job with the Dolphins, three years younger than you are right now. Did you lean on him at all for advice on this situation? And could you at least give us a general idea of how he might have been helpful in that regard?
We've texted, but I have not talked to him on the phone. But my last text to him was, I'll be in touch.
Just a couple more.
Shad, Dave, with Doug being the by far candidate, do you guys have any regrets about not turning to him sooner last season?
No, I don't. I think, like Shad said, no regrets. I think the most important thing is on a week-to-week basis, after our last game, we were on to our next game and just trying to put the best product on the field and win those games. And when it got to a point in time where we felt change was inevitable, I think we made that change.
Okay, last question, please.
Doug, have you talked to Dave about Ryan Nassib at all? And on a scale of 1 to Syracuse, do you plan on giving him a call maybe to give Bortles some competition?
We haven't had any discussions yet in regards to that.
And technically, by league rules, we're not allowed to talk about Ryan Nassib.
Okay, well, thank you very much. You've got some photos to be taken, and then there'll be some group follow-ups if you need them. Thank you.
There you have it, the comments from Tom Coughlin, Shad Khan, Dave Caldwell, Doug Marone, J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. What a day.
I'm getting set up here. Wow, here we go.
We'll have a special guest with us, Shad Khan, scheduled to join us, Tom Coughlin, Doug Marone as well here on set, so stay with us here on Jaguars.com. Why the hell are we here, Tom Coughlin said, if we're not about winning?
Yeah, you always look for that money quote, J.P., and that I don't think it was pre-planned. I think that's just Tom Coughlin. And the idea of something perhaps not being about winning isn't really in his world. And that was a neat moment without question. And I do think that is the moment of the day that people will always remember. Yeah. I know I will. That was cool.
Interesting to see the process through Shad Khan. We'll hear from the Jaguars owner coming up as well about the search firm that was reported and how that was kind of a follow-up. They had their guy in mind. They just wanted an outside mind.
And I will ask Shad about this, but I was kind of watching him as everybody was talking. You could tell he likes this. A couple of times when Tom talked, there was a smile on Shad's face. Clearly he likes the idea of Tom, an experienced Super Bowl winning coach, everything he means to Jacksonville. Sometimes things just feel right. I remember I was a young journalist when Steve Spurrier went back to Florida. He had won the Heisman there. I sort of thought about that some today with homecomings don't always work, but it feels like this is the right guy at the right time, the right circumstance for him to come home, if you will. So that's what it felt like to me. I think that's how Shad sort of felt. It looked like he was that sort of happy, if you will.
Doug Marone, back in the fold, takes the interim tag off of his title. He's here full-time. It's interesting to hear the story of him chasing him down in the hotel room, finding the room number, and really kind of bothered him. Didn't really work out then, but 24 years later, they're working together.
Well, it's interesting that successful head coaches that I've been around often have that sort of story of just wanting it so badly when they are young and figuring out a way to get in the door, and if this door doesn't work, it's a competitive business. That's not an unusual story. It's certainly cool that it involves Tom, but it probably shows you something about Doug Marone too, that the drive, the desire. I thought it was interesting that he talked about that he really didn't think too much about the next head job after Buffalo, and I think that's the approach he had to take. He hasn't been a guy who has campaigned for a position or who has made himself high profile around here. When the opportunity came late in the season, he took advantage of it, meaning he was very head coach the whole time. He was ready for the opportunity, but I think more than being ready for the opportunity in terms of preparing for it, he was ready for the opportunity because he's a head coach, and it was a very natural fit. So it always felt, JP, you were around in those 2 weeks. Doug assumed the role of head coach very easily. Again, not because he'd been planning for it, but because it feels like that's who he is.
He said, if you don't win the moment, the future won't come. That kind of sums it up.
Yeah, and again, great quote. but it's not as good as what the hell else is there?
That's right. You got that right. We'll hear from Shotgun, and here he comes right now. Jaguars owner joining us on Set Live on Jaguars.com. Jaguars owner, Shad Khan. Mr. Khan, it's great to see you.
See you.
Thanks
Good
for
morning.
Coming on with us.
Yeah, so well, hey, it's my privilege.
What a day.
Yeah.
You brought the heat with Tom Coughlin. How about that? I'm sure you're excited about this.
Yeah, I really am. I think, you know, we need his wisdom and football knowledge here to kind of guide the Jaguars. So delighted to have him back.
I was watching you as Tom was speaking a couple of times. And there was a smile on your face, and it just looked to me like you're really comfortable and really like the idea of this direction for this team.
I really do, because, you know, we need Tom. Obviously, you know, his DNA, you know, the Jaguar blood runs through him. Mm-hmm. He had great success, obviously, after the Jaguars, but this is something special to him, and I think he's just a unique person. I know of nobody else. Jaguars, you know, the youngest team in the NFL, but nobody like Tom who would, you know, have the pride, the passion, the fire in the belly to come in where we are, where we got the talent, but getting the really how it all plays together.
When he called you, I'm not sure how it happened, but yeah. When he called you or you called him and he accepted, what was your feeling?
Well, really great. I mean, I'd met Tom, you know, earlier, and then, you know, when we played the Giants here a couple of years, I thought I'd get a chance to maybe spend a little bit of more time with him, but it was a day for the Jaguars that day, right. If you remember that game. Right. He was not in a good mood. So I thought I better avoid it. And then this last year, you know, he got appointed to the league office.
Right.
And really, without an agenda, I just got to know him. Then I spent a day with him one-on-one here, about a month or so. And then as we were continuing our process, you know, I had dialogue with him. And, you know, he has a very specific mindset as the kind of coach that's going to work. And Doug was, this is all working in parallel, so you can imagine. I think the joy and pleasure you have that, boy, we've been working and boom, this would be the guy he'd be picking. And, you know, Doug had no idea, you know, at least what I'd been thinking, that really what kind of structure to have. But
Your football leadership now has kind of three different levels of experience in the league. Yeah. Tom Coughlin's been around it for a long time. Doug Marone has been a head coach before, but only a couple of years, interim here, and now the full-time guy. And Dave Caldwell, a younger executive in the league, as you said, this will kind of help him move forward in his career as well. But three different ideas in that room is not a bad thing, right?
I think it's a great thing. And really, you know, we put 11 men on the field, you know, for each play. So they've got to work as a team. And same thing here. These three, you know, I think key Jaguars, brain power, I mean, they'll work as a team. But we know if you know how it's going to work in case there's a difference of opinion.
And you're thinking this is a pretty I guess a now situation. Like, you're optimistic for right now, you're optimistic for next year.
I am.
You feel like this is something that's not a, I don't say not a process, but you feel like it's there.
I feel it's there. I felt it was there, frankly, last year. You know, we got blown out maybe in three games, and there were 10 games that were very winnable right till the bitter end. And so that's why, you know, I feel that this is like we've got all the pieces here. We'll have a high draft pick, obviously, and then maybe supplementing it. So, you know, we've got everything here to help us win right now.
Mr. Khan, we appreciate your time.
Okay.
Congratulations. Enjoy
Thank
the
you.
Day.
Shad
Khan, Jaguars owner,
Thank
joining
you.
Us here on Jaguars.com Live. We'll hear from Tom Coughlin coming up. Doug Marone scheduled to join us as well, and hey, oh, here he comes now, the executive vice president of football operations. I gotta get the title right, he says. Yeah, grab the microphone. That's fine, right there.
It's fine.
Tom,
wherever
Tom,
you want to put it, Tom.
You have to hold up this,
you have to hold the microphone. Yes sir, you do. Welcome.
Good to see you. Good to see
you. John's not holding this.
I know, right? Welcome back. Hey, what a day, right? This is, could you have imagined when you left here after the 0-2 season. Being back here in any capacity, much less the top guy.
Well, I didn't, to be honest with you. And you know, quite frankly, resented a lot of what happened at the end. But nevertheless, this opportunity, I don't know, it goes full circle for me now. And I do appreciate it very much. And I do, it's very consistent, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten a job where I knew the people that hired me. So, but I'm excited about this, and it's a great challenge. And one of the things that I just mentioned that really is important for me is Judy's excited.
Right.
She hasn't been excited for the last couple of years, to be honest with you.
Right.
She is excited, and that's a nice thing to see. And we've always had two families here with five grandkids, two families in New Jersey with seven grandkids. So, you know, we're gonna spend more time on this end now. And as I got ready to leave, I told Chris Snee I wish I could pull everybody down here with us, but we're excited. You know, we really are. And you know, I think one of the things that people don't quite understand when you talk about Doug Marrone is you have to look at the background of people, and you have to look at, for example, the position that they played and coached. And when you get a guy who's been an offensive line coach, you know, you sort of get the idea about the fundamentals of the game of football and the way it was originally designed to be played. And those are, you know, those are extremely important values, because they lend themselves to the physical nature of the game, which you really can never get away from. And when you're talking about that, hopefully you'd also bring in that balance that's so necessary between run and pass.
You can't wait to get started, can you? You're wanting to get off here and get downstairs.
I want to get started, you know, digging deeper into this roster and talking to Dave and Doug about the player rankings and the coach rankings and where the basic needs are, and then take a shot at this myself, you know, lock myself in a room somewhere, take a look at a bunch of games and come up with some ideas for myself, and then start talking about where are we on free agency? Where are we with the players that are currently on this roster that are free agents? Who do we want? Who do we not want? So on and so forth. But that's the excitement for me right now.
You mentioned on the podium, beyond saying what the hell else is there besides winning, that you thought this was the right position at this time for you.
It is.
Why?
Well, it's interesting because I never thought of the word transition, okay? But when I went to work for the league office and I got to see, you know, the big picture, and I worked with a lot of very good people, and I was only concerned about the game, the improvement of the game. You know, I was on the Madden Coaches Committee, which I've been on for many years. I had the privilege of being a part of the Player Safety Committee, the Competition Committee, you know, and so the General Managers Committee, if it be. So I had an opportunity to take a broader view of the game, the as it exists today, the future of the game, where we are, what needs to be implemented, some of the ideas that we had. And so I began to think in terms of a broader concept about the game. And when I spoke to Mr. Kahn about, you know, an idea or two that I had, the bottom line was, when I came away from visiting with him, my thoughts were that I could help him, I could help the coaches, I could help the general manager, I could help with free agency, I could help with the draft, because after all, the opportunity that really, really was an asterisk when I came here the first time is when Wayne Weaver said to me, "You do want personnel, right?" Because he actually modeled his desire for the structure of his program from the Jimmy Johnson Cowboys structure. And that was very, very instrumental in that first time around as well. But it gave me an opportunity to get into the personnel end of it.
Can it be done fast here?
Can I what?
Can it be done fast?
You know, that's the hope, and that's the only reason, really, that it is so attractive to me is because I do think it can be done. And, of course, you guys know. I mean, first you got to take care of yourself in your own division.
Right.
If you win your own division, you got a chance because you got to get in the tournament, and the fastest way and the most direct way is to win the division.
Coach, moving forward here, the next few weeks are going to be integral. Staff coming in, personnel decisions coming up. At what point do you think the staff could be in place around Doug Marrone, and at what point do you start really dissecting this roster and figuring out what you need?
You've got to be able to do them both at the same time. Doug is obviously going to be very much involved in interviewing and so on and so forth, and to a certain extent, I'll be involved in that as well. But I think those personnel decisions, to go to Dave right now and find out where they are, I've already asked for the pro grades on the current players and the rankings, and I'm concerned about the paragraph or two that each coach would put on his player so that I can visualize the player myself. But that's got to start, and I've got to be a part of that right away.
Did you drive in today, Tom?
I did.
What were your feelings like when you came over and saw the stadium?
You want to know? Well, for that part of it, I just told a shot out here on the stadium. It's a beautiful, beautiful stadium. And it's a fast, very fast turf. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to stand there and look at the stadium again. But coming over the bridge, like the thousands of times I drove over the bridge at 5 o'clock in the morning looking at this structure. But I thought you were going to lead me into a funny comment in that it took me 10 minutes to get out of my own neighborhood. The traffic is crazy out there.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, good to see you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
it. Look forward to working with you.
Tom
Coughlin joining us on set here on Jaguars.com live. Yeah. What is the past
Thank
is
you,
back.
Guys.
Tom
appreciate
Coughlin's it. Back in charge here in Jacksonville, John. And we'll hear from Doug Marrone coming up, the new Jaguars head coach. Yeah, winning. A little
wild.
Different feel.
Yeah,
huh?
It's, and like I said, I'm going through a lot of emotions, but I covered Tom for 6 years. And to have been here in 95 when he came in, to have been around it when he was around, and to sort of hear him talking about the Jaguars again, it's a wild moment.
Were you out of high school in 95?
Were you is the question.
Yeah, that's right, Dave Caldwell.
I was in college.
Good morning.
I was here, so.
Great.
Well, big day, obviously. Tom Coughlin back in the building. Take us through this process and how you're looking forward to working with Tom, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said earlier, he's a future Hall of Famer. Probably going to be on our the pride of the Jaguars.
He is now.
Yeah, and so those things are great. And then the fact that I've always admired from afar. We've never worked together, but we've had a lot of common denominators of people we know that we both highly respect, and got to know he and his family here through the J Fund and some of the things here in the community. And always have thought the world of him.
He was asked this, but obviously, when it comes down to draft personnel. It doesn't sound like anybody has any anticipation of there being a problem deciding who guys are taking.
No. I think
that's what people want to find out.
We have a really good process in place. We follow the process, and at the end of the day, 99.9% of those, the process will reveal the person who we should take. And then if there is that 0.01% that there is an issue, maybe we'll take that player aside and we'll go pick another one.
Right.
So.
The coaching search process, so it's a process that nobody ever really wants to go through, obviously,
sure.
But you had to do it again this year. But you came back with a guy who was in the building the last 2 years in Doug Marrone. And you know what? Just hearing him talk again today.
We could have probably saved a lot of money by just naming him a head coach, right?
I guess. But he just feels like a head coach.
Yeah,
right?
He is. Yeah, Doug's very definitive. He knows what he wants. He knows what it takes to win.
And did you get a vibe during those 2 weeks that, hey, if it works out that this is the way we're going, this is a good choice?
Yeah. We knew that we had kind of the ace in the hole type of deal, but wanted to go through the process and make sure, and that's what the search firm helped us with, too, is go through the process and also, like I said, have an unbiased opinion of who would be the best mm-hmm. candidate. And through it all, kind of emerged as Doug.
Moving forward now, hey.
And we didn't really know what was out. You didn't know what else was out there until you start sitting down, interviewing people, seeing how they would fit with our team, our city, our community.
That could have changed some things at that
sure.
point. Yeah. Now moving forward here, Senior Bowl coming up, the pre-draft process. You got to work on your needs and what you need as a football team very early in that process, I'm sure. But the next few weeks are going to be busy with staff coming in and all that.
That's right,
all the change around here.
That's right,
right.
So our scouts will come in. They're at all-star games now. We got the East-West coming up, then the Senior Bowl.
And then right after, we'll start our scouting meetings, you know, discussing the draft players, and then we get into free agency, and then we got the combine, and then we got the draft.
What's maybe the biggest thing that you're hoping to take from being around Tom?
I think his leadership. You know, I think, you know, he's a tremendous leader, obviously, and any advice he has on, you know, leading the 16 or 17 direct reports that I have.
Sure.
Be great.
Dave, it's good to see you, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Dave Caldwell, Jaguars general manager, joining us on Jaguars.com Live on a big day here at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, we heard from Shad Khan, Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, Doug Marone may join us. We'll see if the Jaguars head coach makes his way over here. That's going to be an interesting process.
Sure.
They say they have it in place to figure out how they're going to work together, especially when it comes down to picking the 53.
Yeah, and as Tom said on the podium, it'll be about team. They'll figure out the process of getting information from the scouts to the next level of scouts to Dave Caldwell, to Tom Coughlin, back again. As Tom said a couple minutes ago, he's a football guy now. So he mentioned, and I'm paraphrasing it, he's looking forward at some point to closing the door, turning off the lights, getting the clicker in hand and watching the film and figuring out what this team is, figuring out what he likes about it, figuring out the college prospects. There will be a time where he's bunkered in and he's doing that and getting down to it. It's not going to be a hands-off situation for him. So, as people have said, this is a young roster that has been built. The salary cap's in good situation. Now you have two minds that will figure out how to move forward in lockstep.
We're still waiting. Doug Marone, Jaguars head coach, will join us here on set here in moments. You know, they were pretty definitive about the quarterback, too. Blake Bortles is our quarterback. That's about all they said today about personnel. They didn't want to go there today.
Well, and there's a reason for that. Tom, I'm sure, has looked extensively at the roster. But what Tom hasn't done is looked as extensively at the roster as he wants to. And there's a process. He mentioned he's got to get reports in from him. He's got to figure out what coaches feel about it. Then there is a process of internalizing that. Okay, now how do I feel about it? Where are we going to meet on this? So it's not time yet, in their view, to start saying, hey, we like this guy at wide receiver. We like this guy in the slot. We like this guy at tackle. They haven't decided their coordinators yet. You know, the roles of the coaches hasn't been decided yet. So from their perspective, it's going to be very difficult to speak to personnel until you know the structure and the plan you have in place. So at this point, you know, probably what we could do, JP, is just sort of run what the hell else is there in a loop, and the fans could just dance for a while.
I think we might.
I mean, I'll probably dance to it a little later.
Pretty incredible to hear that earlier.
It was a good moment.
It really was. And it kind of defined the day here at Everbank Field and really defines the future of this organization, at least for the next few years when this group is running the show here. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, Doug Marone coming up. Our thanks to Shad Khan, Tom Coughlin, and Dave Caldwell for joining us just a little bit earlier.
But let's one thing being, I guess I sit next to Tom, looking at the podium. Any thought that anybody might have had that Tom Coughlin was coming here after coaching and sort of trying to figure out what he wanted to do with this position, you can forget about it. It's amazing the drive, the motivation, the focus that he has. I started covering 23 years ago. I don't want to say he's the same guy. I'm sure he's better than he was then. But to still be going that strong, that focus is unbelievable. And I'll let you talk about Tom a little bit.
John, JP, how you doing?
Coach, how are you?
All right.
Doug Marone with us on set. It was the story you told on the podium about Tom Coughlin.
True story.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
That's what young coaches have, a drive and a want to.
Drive, you know? want to get with people that have been successful. I always thought, here's where I was wrong with Coach, okay? I thought because he was a graduate of Syracuse University and I was a graduate of Syracuse University, I thought maybe I have a little bit of an edge. Nothing.
You put that card back
flat
in your pocket?
I was like, gosh, this guy, I mean, you know, because you know when you go to college, they always say, hey, we have the networking and alumni. And
perfect.
Well, you know
setup.
What? It works in probably business a little bit better than in sports, at least with Coach Coughlin. I said, Syracuse, and he's like, yeah, okay. What does that mean?
Now, did he remember the story when you told him?
No,
you wake him up in the middle of the night?
I don't know, but I remember that story. Sure. I mean, that is the truth of that story.
The last 2 weeks of the season as the interim head coach, you were that was the role presented to you there. You took advantage of that situation the 2 weeks there. And then moving forward, the interview process came after that. As you said, if you don't win the moment, the future won't come. That was at the moment. You had to be the interim head coach and then focus on this later, right?
But I think the mindset was probably a little bit different. I think the mindset going in was I was put into a position, a very difficult one, a challenging one. Obviously, we know how everyone felt about Coach Bradley. So for me, my first thought process was, okay, I'm going to be in this position. I've been in this position before, not as an interim, but as a head coach. So for me, my thought process was, okay, I'm going to do the best job for the assistants. I'm going to do the best job for the players. And I asked them, I said, listen, there are some things that may be a little bit different. It's not because I think they're better. It's just because it'll help me operate better. It's what I'm comfortable with. And if you guys can do that, I can be able to help you. And that's really what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking about, hey, listen, maybe if I do, you know, because once you start thinking about that, it ties away from winning. And you don't want to set these plans of or agendas mm-hmm. that are off base without, you know, when your final goal is to win. And that's what I truly believe.
Does your mindset, approach, anything change? Now the interim tag's off. You're the guy. I mean, obviously there are decisions you make, but same guy, right?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Okay.
You know, it's like some of the players, they were like, hey, coach, you know, we really hope, you know, and players, and you respect that. I respect that from the players. But I made sure, I told them, be careful what you wish for. You know, there's a way of, you know, that I feel to run a program. I'm going to run it the way I feel is what's best to put in a position to win. So, you know, it is different. I'm still the same person in how I react to things, but there's a certain way that, you know, I practice, certain way that I play, certain way we sit in meetings, certain ways that – and it's not the Doug Marrone way. It's the way to do things – okay, so that you can be productive and have the ability or the opportunity to win. That's all it's about. So, you know, not a lot of rules. You know, one rule, you know, be a pro. That's it. So, you know, we've talked about that. I haven't had many discussions, obviously, because of the timing and the collective bargaining agreement. We can get some messages out, like the one I just had, but some of the players knew. They say, Coach, hey, wish you luck, hope you're head coach. And I made sure everyone knew, you know, just, hey, be careful what you wish for. But at the end, you'll understand it's going to be a great ride.
Next couple of weeks for you will be busy. You've got to fill out the staff, and that's the next process. You guys didn't want to talk a lot about that today, but the next couple of weeks are key moving forward.
It is, especially now with two other jobs being filled. So there's a lot going on. You know, right now I'm trying to, you know, wrap this thing up so I can get back downstairs and, you know, and keep working on that process.
Well, let's get you back downstairs.
I appreciate it.
Let's work on the process.
John,
right now.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Doug
Marrone.
All right, JP, appreciate it.
Jaguars head coach joining us here on Jaguars.com Live. Our thanks to Shad Khan, Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, Doug Marrone as well. And, hey, the tone has been set, John.
Yeah, and it's, you know, clearly on the podium, everybody talked about discipline, winning, hard edge. I'm trying to remember the words, but it's clear. Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, there is an old school element. There's a no nonsense element to it. As Doug said, it's all about winning. And I thought it was interesting. One rule, be a pro. Boy, that may be one rule, but it covers a lot of ground.
There's no doubt about that. Well done, John, by the way. We'll look for your writing
JP.
Coming up inside the Jaguars with Brian Sexton coming up on Jaguars.com as well. Our thanks to our entire crew today, and thanks to you for watching. What a day it's been. Tom Coughlin's back in the building. Doug Marrone's the head coach. And Dave Caldwell, a two-year extension. And we heard from Jaguars owner Shad Khan. This has been Jaguars.com Live.